defense mechanisms make use of a totally different theoretical perspective from behaviorism. Defense mechanisms are based on, well, not behavioral psychology, but Freudian psychology. See, in defense mechanisms, what's important is just not what you do. It's what you do in conjunction with what is going on inside. Both are required. No, wait, it's worse than that. It's what you do in conjunction with what's going on inside that you yourself are not even aware that you're doing. In other words, the unconscious mind. Now, if the notion of the unconscious mind strikes you as strange or even bizarre, I can understand that, but for purposes of understanding defense mechanisms, you must start from the point of view that we do have this unconscious, because it's definitional to how we understand defenses working. Let's back up for a second, and since defenses come out of Freudian psychology, let's just have a quick review of the pieces of the Freudian psyche. According to Freud, we're all born with something he calls the id. The id is the animalistic instincts and urges, sex and aggression, primary process. This is standard equipment on all human beings. You're born with this. You don't acquire it. You come with this as part of your natural capacity. About age 4 or 5, we develop something new, something which Freud calls the superego. The superego is at best our conscience, helping us understand right and wrong, helping us integrate our behavior with people around us, but at worst can be harsh, punitive, and repressive. It can be the kind of impulse repression that doesn't even let you get the basic things that you need to survive in your life. So on the one hand, you have the id saying, I want it now, give it to me. And on the other hand, you have the superego saying, no, you don't deserve it, suffer, suffering's good for you. Clearly, these two are not getting along. Standing between the impulses of the id and the repressions of the superego, we develop over time an ever-strengthening ego. The ego is the rational, language-based part of your psyche. The ego is the part of your psyche that stands between these two warring internal factions and tries to come up with a solution to make us adaptive and practical in the world we find ourselves in. Think about the ego as the United Nations of your psyche, standing between the warring factions, trying to keep them from killing each other. And sometimes it's about that effective, meaning not at all. The primary mechanisms the ego has to try to handle these internal conflicts, the primary tools the ego has to try to deal with these internal tensions, are called defense mechanisms. The point of defense mechanisms is to hold off reality until we can come to grips with it. Now, all defenses have some clear properties. It's important that you start your understanding of defenses by understanding these are true for every defense. The first is probably the most important. All defenses are unconscious. If you know what you're doing, which you can, then it's not a defense. All defenses are unconscious. If you understand why you're doing something, the source of your behavior, which is possible, it's simply not defensive behavior. Take this as definitional. Defenses are about the unconscious. Defenses change over time. Just because you're using a defense today doesn't mean you're stuck with it. Defenses change, modify, even fade away over time. If you recognize defenses in yourself, it's not the defenses that are currently existing that you recognize. It's probably ones from the past that are no longer present. Defenses are both adaptive and also pathological. This is key, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe that only crazy people use defenses, I have to try to change your mind here, because the real fact of the matter is if you're not using defenses, you're crazy. Everybody uses defenses all the time, every day. It's how we cope. It's how we get through the day. If you're not using defenses, then you likely have problems. Well, then, what's the difference between normal defensiveness and psychopathology? What's the difference between defenses in the normal range and when we've gone too far? Well, the basic underlying theme is simple. If we distort reality to a considerable degree, so it's hard for us to ever come back to grips with that reality, that's a problem. But if we distort reality until it holds it off until we can now come to grips with it. That's what healthy coping is all about. Let me try a metaphor to get you to understand what we mean by the difference between normal defense and psychopathology. Because the real issue in terms of the distortion is one of intensity and extent, how much and how pervasive. Suppose at the end of class today I decide, ugh, I'm a little tired, and so I stop by the corner store on the way home, and I pick up a quart of milk and a bag of Oreo cookies. And I go back to my room, put my feet up, watch the news, have 4 or 5 Oreo cookies, drink a glass of milk, and then I put the bag away. Now, are Oreo cookies good for me? Well, no, they're not. But that's acceptable behavior. That's nothing pathological. I can have a few Oreos every now and again. That's perfectly normal. Take this contrast. Suppose I stop now on the way home, and now I don't just get a bag of Oreo cookies. Instead, I buy 5 bags of Oreo cookies along with a gallon of milk. You know, the giant economy size. And now I go home tonight and I eat all 5 bags of Oreos. Is that pathological? Well, yes, it is. It's too much all at once. Of course it is. Or, alternatively, suppose I stop by the store and I buy my 5 huge bags of Oreos, and then all I eat for the next week is nothing but Oreo cookies. Is that pathological? Well, yes, it is. It's too extensive. What's the difference between normal behavior and psychopathology? It's when it's too much all at once or when it's too pervasive, when it holds you back from reality for too long or to too great a degree. Now, the questions about defenses are fairly easy to anticipate. They're going to present you with a patient, a doctor, a medical student, somebody doing or saying something in a particular context, and then they're going to say, which one of these defense mechanisms most likely accounts for this person's behavior? Your job is simple. You have to know them when you see them. You're going to be faced with a description, and you're going to have to be able to label what it is that is being described. To prepare you to do that, we're going to walk through talking about each of these defenses in turn, defining what they are, giving some key characteristics, and then work through a series of examples to help you recognize them when you, in fact, see them on the exam. You'll notice in your syllabus that defenses are organized in 4 clusters: narcissistic defenses, immature defenses, neurotic defenses, and mature defenses. Learn them in those clusters. The reason for having them in the clusters is twofold. One, it's much easier to learn things in groups than it is to learn one huge long list. You should always cluster things when you're learning. Second, these clusters, the 4 of them, are organized from the least mature, the narcissistic defenses, to the most mature, the mature defenses. We mean to imply differentiation between the groups. We do not mean to imply differentiation within the groups. So it is, of course, true that all the narcissistic defenses are more primitive, that is, less mature, than the neurotic defenses. I do not mean to imply that projection is somehow more primitive than denial. That fine grain of differentiation is not really useful. Let's spend some time walking through each of the defenses, making sure you have a clear sense of what they are, making sure you can recognize them when you see them.